We praise him because he's so worthy. We praise him because he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We praise him, and oh, what a wondrous thing. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from the 7th chapter of John, starting at the 14th verse. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.
If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I see him myself.
He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.
Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?"
The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?"
Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye are marvel.
Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man.
If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken,
are ye angry at me because I have made a man of every whole on the Sabbath day?
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?
How may we know this man whence he is? But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is.
Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not.
But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me."
Dear Father, we want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, being made conformable unto your death. We say these words, Lord, and we don't even always know what they mean, but we're asking that today you would draw us deeper into fellowship with you, that you would change us, save us, make us. You are welcome here, Lord. Welcome to teach us, welcome to guide us, welcome to be worshiped by us. We worship you, and we worship you alone. Oh God, you are worthy. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Pick me up. Turn me around. Settle my feet on solid ground. Today, Lord, may we be settled on solid ground, the solid ground of your word. Let your word move in us, through us, around us in such a way that today we know you better, that today we are changed, that today we are made different, that today the whole world will begin to see what a great and wondrous God you are because of what you have done in us. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 7th chapter of the book of John. In the 7th chapter of the book of John, there's just some fascinating things that you get to see here. people complaining about stuff in the midst of all of the wondrous blessings of God. Starting at the 14th verse, says, now about the midst of the feast, right in the middle of this Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths is another way of saying it. It's this feast that commemorated the wondrous things that God had done for Israel, and they all of the blessings that they had, and it was the Feast of Ingathering. They thought of all the blessings, and the Feast of Booths was a celebratory time, so people would build these little kind of lean-tos out in their community, they would just remember how God has kept them and shielded them and done all of these wondrous things. So in this celebratory time that Jesus comes up in the middle of the feast. He didn't go up at the beginning of the feast because he knew that they were still ticked at him about an incident that had happened recently, and he wasn't ready to go to the cross yet. So because he wasn't ready to go to the cross yet, he didn't want to call a lot of attention until he was in a very public place doing things so that this would all work out. So you've got that little bit of background there. And he says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple. He went right up into the temple, right there in the temple courts, and he taught. He stood up and began to share the truth of the word of God. It must have been an amazing thing to see. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How did he get it? How did he understand all this stuff? They're sitting there and trying to keep up with the scroll and trying to understand how he was able to articulate the things that he did, how he was able to do that. I'm telling you, being filled with the Spirit will do something for you. Being filled with the Spirit will make you actually sing like you know what you're talking about, you know? So you just need to allow him to lead you and to guide you, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let that word move in you. If you will stop talking about all the junk we talk about and talk about the word, people will think highly of you or be mad at you. And either one's okay if you're talking about the word of God. So, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. This is not something new in a sense. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. The Father has established this. The Father who told you, when I was baptized, hear him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. You know, I've always wondered why sometimes people can't get some of the simple stuff. You know, there are some simple things in the Word of God, and you wonder, why do people have such a hard time with it? I've discovered something. You never understand it when you don't want to do it. You know? I think about that now. It didn't seem like that made as much impact as I thought it might. You never understand it if you don't want to do it. You ever had someone give you an order and you go, huh? And they look at you and, you heard me. You know, you ever tell your child and suddenly they think, gee, mom's speaking a foreign language. No. That was just something you just didn't want to comprehend. Really, it's almost like the word is blinded to you if you won't obey what you already know to do. Why should God give you any more? if you won't do what's right there in front of you. Should God give you the depths of the beauty of the riches of his word? Why should he allow you to understand? Because if he allows you to understand and you just continue to be disobedient, that makes you more culpable than ever. And he loves you too much. He says, well, they just won't understand until they can obey what they are supposed to obey. So if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So you do his will, he'll teach you more. He'll give you a little bit more. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, you'll know. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh the glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Oh, man, when we begin to talk about the glory of God, when we're not looking to lift up ourselves, it's really so beautiful. We got to go to a worship leaders conference this weekend. It was just, there was just a sense of people that wanted to worship God. Great musicians and singers and people that wanted to worship God. There's something special about that. Do you really want to worship God? I mean, have you ever stopped to think why you're here? It's okay to do that every once in a while. Just stop. Why am I here? This is like the morning. And I had to get up and adjust myself and do all of those things. But why am I here? Am I here just so that the other people that are around me can see that I'm here? Am I here because I have some sense of duty? Or could it be that I am here because I am hoping that God will reveal himself to me just a little bit more? Will he show himself just a little bit more? Will he give me just a little bit more of himself? And will I get it? Will I know him better? Will I get to watch and how he blesses others and be in awe of his goodness and grace? Will I get how he corrects us and helps us and be amazed at how much he loves us? Will I get a sense of his goodness in such a way that it makes my heart want to sing? Will I, are you coming for the joy of it all? Listen, I'm satisfied if you just get here. I'll admit that. I'm good with that. That preachers need stuff too, you know. But what are you coming for? There's blessing in us being together. There's blessing in worshiping the Lord and Savior. There's blessing. We serve a king. And he has a kingdom. And his kingdom is wondrous and amazing. And we need to recognize that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come down from heaven. He was allowed himself to be born of a virgin. He was lived this wonderful life after demonstrating that he was truly God and yet 100% man. This one, this king who came from heaven, who allowed himself to be formed as a man, this one, this 100% man, was crucified as the Lamb. The Lamb of God. And our righteous Father was placated for the sin of our lives, the sin that was paid for by the shedding of his blood. That sin was completely wiped away. He took upon himself all of our sin, past sin, present sin, and all of our sin, all into the future. He took all of that. He was crucified. He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again. He was resurrected. He was resurrected by the Spirit of the living God. That's the same Spirit that wants to work in you today. He was resurrected, and that he got up and is sitting with the right hand of the Father even now, making intercession for me and for all of those who are called by his name, who he has initiated a relationship with. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing what he's doing, what he's done, and what he will do. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Listen, we've had the rules, guys. We've had the rules. We got to admit that. And all the rules have taught me is that I can't keep the rules. Amen. All of the rules have taught me that all of us come short of the glory of God. All the rules have shown me just how weak our flesh really is. And if there had not been one who had taken all of my punishment, I would not be able to do it on my own. All of the rules have shown me that I am not perfection, but he is. And because he is, I can live. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So, and the people answered and said, thou hast the devil. I think that was their way of saying, you're crazy. Yeah, you're crazy, man. Thou hast the devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Some of them hadn't heard all of this stuff, all the talk of some of the leaders about trying to assassinate him. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Now he's probably talking about the fact that he healed the guy at the pool of Bethesda, and he did it on a Sabbath day, and he told him to get up and walk. And the guy got up and walked with his bed, and he was walking along, and they said, what are you doing carrying your bed on a Sabbath? And he said, the one who healed me said, carry my bed. Well, who told you that? Who is this guy giving orders that are contrary to the law? And he said, look, I've done that one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, right? And they would go, yeah, he gave a circumcision. Not really Moses, because not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, because, you know, circumcision goes back to Abraham, okay? And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Now you obey the circumcision law that Moses put into writing, and yet that seems to be against the law because, well, that's work on the Sabbath. How does that work, huh? How did that work for you? How is it that you can obey that law while I can't do something good for someone on the Sabbath? You see, when we're looking at this stuff, we need to make sure that we're seeing with God's eyes. We're seeing the purposes behind these laws. We're trying to understand the point of it all. We're not to be slaves to the law. The law was made for us. So anyway, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that's work, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Circumcision demonstrated that that person was being blessed by God. He was a part of God's family. You don't want me to show that someone's a part of the family by me caring for them and watching over them and helping them? Judge not according to appearance. Stop looking at the surface of things. We ought to stop doing that. I'm frustrated that we make such judgments about people. We look at somebody and they have this or they have that, and we go, ooh, what's wrong with them? Those people, those others than me, than us. But I'm not too sure of you, so others than me. God so loved the world, the whole thing, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. Our job is not so much to look at the world and say what a horrid group of people you are. Let me separate myself. Our God is to practice God's holiness in the midst of the world, hoping that they, seeing and feeling you, get it, and that God would be so gracious as to save them. So gracious as to say, come be a part of us. So gracious. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, see, those were the people that were actually living in Jerusalem, and they had heard what the Jewish leadership has been saying. And they're saying, is not this he whom you seek to kill? Isn't this the guy that you were talking about? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. What's up with that? Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do they know? And if they know, what in the world are they doing? Is it about, are they on some kind of power trip? Or are they afraid? What's going on with them? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. See, and this is confusing. We think we know him. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. There was an old saying, this is even in Scripture, an old saying that when Christ come, nobody would know where he came from. It's funny how in they thought they knew him, but they didn't know him. See, there are people that think they know you, Christian, and they don't know you. You know, you go to work and you do some stuff and they think they know you. They think they understand, but they don't know where you came from. They don't know what you're thinking. They don't know what you're feeling. They don't know you. There are people that are making judgments about other people, and you don't know them, and they don't know you, and they did not know Christ. They thought, this can't be the Christ, because the Christ is going to come from Bethlehem. Oh. If they had known him, really, they would have known that's where he came from. But because they only knew his recent past or a part of his past, they didn't know the whole story. Who knows your whole story? Only the Father. Only the Father. He's the only one that can be trusted with your story. Who knows you? But be careful. Who do you know? Who are you judging? Who are you looking at and saying, you didn't do this? Or I saw you do that. Verse 27 again. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, who he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, he was this frustrated. I mean, he shouts this out. You both know me and ye know whence I am. Yeah? Is that what you think? You both know me and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. You don't even know the Father. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Do you know the one the Father has sent? Have you met the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who has come for you, the one who has come for me? Do you know him today? We miss so much by not really knowing him. Will you stop being satisfied with a surface relationship? Go deep. Go deep. Go deep and learn everything you can. But not learning in and of itself won't do it. You go deep so that you can go deep with your obedience. And as you obey, he will reveal more to you. Today, if you want to know more of him, whether you're totally unfamiliar with him or you've begun your journey but you want to go further, or you're really in a really good place and you want to see others go further. I don't know where you're at today. I won't make that judgment. But I want to give you an opportunity to listen to the Spirit's call and go deep. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Father, today, help me to go deep. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And because I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I believe that you save me, you deliver me, you change me, you make me different. The words are important, but the reality is even greater. Today, Lord, whatever it means, I am yours. Make me, mold me, change me. In Jesus' name I pray. If God is working in your life, feel free to come to the altar. I'd love to pray with you. But you can pray right there. This is not a magic place, but it is a holy place.